All right, it's the Pop Tower Podcast. I'm Peter W. Dawson.
I'm James Bullock.
And we're here to talk about video games and television, sort of the old television streaming question. When will it end?
Ron Howard asked the answer.
No, he doesn't. Narrator, Ron Howard did not have the answer. just that concept alone will always make that show just...
No, it will never get old.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, it's not like we're going to be talking about Netflix for the next probably 3-4 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, we can't stop.
Anytime they want to slow down.
I know. Any day now.
Yeah. I mean, for those... I'm not going to mention what we're talking about just yet, but for those curious... Just off the top of my head, there's Disenchantment, and there's also Iron Fist Season 2 coming.
Season 2 coming, yep.
So that's those are probably going to be 2 more episodes in the near future. Exactly when, who knows. But in the meantime...
both of them might have mythical dragons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know I'm a mythical dragon. That's what they call me down at the Fae Club.
Well, I guess we just found out what your nickname is this week.
Mythical Dragon?
Mythical Dragon Peter Dawson.
That's fine. I've called myself things way worse. I just can't... You'll know I'm depressed when I just call myself like a terrible piece of crap or something like that.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for somebody... Okay, if a faithful listener wants to get a tattoo of a Mythical Dragon and it had like Peter's initials wrapped around it.
No one's that faithful.
I don't know. We have crazy people in this world now.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking of crazy, let's talk about We Happy Few.
Oh, that was perfect.
Yeah. Well, you do realize that's kind of the theme for this episode,
I know,
right?
It really is. It is. It's sheer insanity.
Crazy, and what pop culture thinks it is. I mean, I don't know about you, I've encountered people who I genuinely think are crazy, and it's not as charming as it can be in these...
No, it's not. No, it'll leave you a little scarred.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to tell that personal story. It's too soon for that. Let's talk about We Happy Few.
Okay. Hey, remember what they say. A country that has no past is the greatest country of them all, according to We Happy Few.
Well, it's true, because there's nothing to be ashamed about.
Exactly.
I mean, but an important part of life, just to throw this out there, is that... It's important to look back at your past with shame, because it helps you grow as a person.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back and don't think your younger self is in some way an idiot, you might have a problem.
Yeah, if you cannot like pinpoint at least 5 things you've done in your life and say, how stupid was I?
I can think of something I just did last week, which I told you before we started the episode.
Yeah.
I won't repeat that story, because that would take a lot of setup, but... So We Happy Few. This was Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, it was Kickstarter, yep.
Yeah. It was released in Early Access in 2016, and finally properly came out in 2018. And, We Happy Few is, it's multi-platform, because Gearbox ended up publishing it.
Right. At first, it was just going to be for Windows and Xbox One.
Yeah.
Which, when the original trailer dropped, it had me so intrigued, because before I had an Xbox One, it actually was like, man, I actually want to have an Xbox One for this, because the trailer was so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and these are the guys who did Contrast, and Contrast was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
For what it was. Yeah. Oh,
a little broken, a little rough around the edges, but it had a solid story and solid narrative and really good characters.
Should mention this was kickstarted in 2015, by the way.
Mm.
Just to clear up when it was going. And, because... Microsoft helped support them to get the one for Xbox One when they got involved, and then before long with Gearbox got involved, we also got it on PS4, so, you know, it went full multi-platform. The game itself is... It's probably best to just compare it to kind of Bioshock in a way? With less shooting.
Less shooty. Yeah, from a visual standpoint, and like you said, from the perspective of first person...
Yeah.
But other than that, it's nothing like Bioshock.
I know, just from, like, a basic... Because it's more just survival and stealth and all that stuff.
Right.
There's, like I said, there's no shooty-shooty. There's some RPG elements, I would say. But
You have a skill tree. You get little points here and there when you complete missions, but it's like you don't have to grind and try. You gotta craft stuff too. So
but that's more survival game type stuff.
Yeah,
like true. That's the thing. Survival games can easily branch into RPGs. Stealth not so much all the time, but yeah. So it kind of merges together, and in this case, we're dealing with a world very much inspired. I believe I'm going to get the citation right here. He's specifically cited Brazil, which is an interesting one to cite for this. 1984, yeah, that makes sense. And Brave New World, yep, that definitely makes sense.
Yep.
In this
the first thing I thought of was 1984.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 1984 probably more so than Brave New World, but the we'll get into one of the big things about it that can definitely find itself linked to Brave New World. Brazil, not so much.
I mean,
but Brazil is such a very specific, twisted world.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my favorite, one of my favorite movies. Come to think of it, it's probably my top 20. Anyway, so yeah, we get this alternate 1950s or 1960s.
1960s.
Thank you. It's like World War One is over, and society is essentially collapsing, if not already collapsed, due to
It's really weird because we have World War Two, and the Germans are not Nazis.
No.
And America did not get involved.
Yeah. All right, the city's called Wellington Wells, right?
Yes.
Which is a little on the nose, but this game isn't exactly known for subtlety.
I know.
Sorry, it's just... Maybe they were trying too hard, so it'll obviously be funny. I don't know. But yeah, in this case, the society's gotten addicted to... I can't even remember the name of the drug now.
Joy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to say bliss. I'm like, no, that's not it.
No, it's Far Cry.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. I'm thinking of so many other games. We had so many
games with drug addictions forced by the government or some cult organization in the last few years. It's hard to keep them all in the same way. It's hard to keep them all straight at this point.
Yeah, in this case, they're addicted to Joy, which might as well be Soma.
But it comes in chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yep. Yeah, as far as I know, Soma is primarily... There's a gas form and there's an edible form, if I'm remembering my Brave New World correctly. Because at one point they disperse a riot by gassing them all with Soma or something.
Right, right.
I remember that. And I was like, oh, it's a happy gas. And then everyone starts having sex in the street. Yay. Yeah, so in this case, you follow three different characters. Arthur, Sally, and Ollie.
Yes.
I would have just loved to call the character Ollie all the time. Ollie's one of my favorite, like, old-timey names that I would never want to call a person in, like, real life. You know what I mean?
No. He comes across as an Ollie, too. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, like, Arthur's your initial... the initial one, right?
He's the first protagonist. He's Act 1.
Yeah.
His story is Act 1.
Yeah, and then, well, Sally... And then so we get Sally, who's more heavily focused on sneaking around... And then Ollie is,
and
like, the brute.
Chemistry, yeah. Yeah, he's a tank. Who has diabetes?
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like I mentioned, there's no real shooty-shooty, but there's still a lot of melee combat type stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty much all melee and and throwing projectiles.
Yeah, oh, right, because, yeah, there's throwing weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, like explosives. Well, I say explosives.
You can always throw a glass bomb at somebody's head. It's okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the premise. They're just all trying to get out of the city because they realize the city kind of sucks.
Yeah, they get off their drugs and find out, man, this is not the place I want to be anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what I guess one of the big things probably mentioned is one of the cool features is there's procedural generation. So, like, it's a world that can be kind of alive in its own way. Like, you can't always predict where stuff's going to be.
Yeah, especially when it comes to loot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can search through trash cans or random houses. You can actually trespass in people's houses and just steal their food if you want to, but you never know exactly what you're going to get. And sometimes you might be looking for something. Like, for example, for me, there was a sequence. It's, I want to say, a probably a third of the way through Arthur's story, mm-hmm. where he actually encounters Ollie, and you have to have a lockpick. And of course, I'd used up all my lockpicks.
Yep.
So I had to find some bobby pins. And I spent a good hour and a half searching through places trying to find bobby pins.
Yeah, see, that's the downside of this thing, because it's a cool concept, but if you have, if there's a plot critical item, you yeah. really need to make sure that there's a safeguard for that. Otherwise, what you just described can happen.
Yeah, and there's another, later on with Sally's act, there was a mission that you could actually poison the people to stop them from tearing a person's heart out.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have a potion to do it, and since it was on the top of a mountain, and you don't have a chemistry set around you, you cannot make it unless you already have it on you, so you don't know until you start the mission. And, of course, you can't do anything when the mission started.
Yep.
So, you kind of like, you screwed either way. But thankfully, mind you, just, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about this later on, just the technical issues, but just thankfully, when that came to be, and the people were chasing me, they just ran right off the mountain.
Yep. You know, well, no, we, you know what, let's just talk about that right now. So, before we get into some other stuff we may like or dislike about this game, we need to mention,
okay,
this has got to be one of the buggiest releases I've seen in a while.
Oh, man.
It's funny
because for those who've... Yeah, yeah, easily. For those who watched my first impressions video of it...
which you should be doing.
Yeah, you should be doing. But always remember, it is first impressions. And when it came down, I hadn't gotten past maybe the halfway mark to the two-thirds mark of Arthur's story. But when it comes to like the last maybe 2 hours, it just crapped out on me. I died at one spot during a mission, and of course I had to restart the mission, and any time the game loaded up, it crashed. And that went on for a good 2 hours straight. And I was trying to do old saves, wouldn't work, or would just freeze up. And then finally just decided, hey, I want to work now.
Yeah.
And then it started like having invincible enemies.
Ooh.
And... And it was actually one of the characters that was just an NPC that would allow you to move on with the mission. It didn't even have... It wasn't even an adversary. It wasn't even a hostile enemy. But this time, when the game started back up, that person was hostile. And for some reason, they were invincible. Thankfully, I haven't had as many problems with Sally's and Ollie's axe, but Arthur's axe was just horrible for technical difficulties. But, of course, you still have your random moments of characters getting stuck in walls and stuff not appearing to be in your inventory and stuff like that. But yeah, this game can be a mess. And funny enough, I actually saw it on one of the developers said that the reason for this was, when it comes to crashes, is that the PS4 can't handle the generated loading. Just the way the world works, it just can't handle it when it starts it up.
Well, then maybe you should have thought of that before making it multi-platform.
Like you said, the procedurally generated world, for some reason, cannot be handled with this game on a PS4. But it can handle God of War, no problem.
Yeah. You know, well, maybe it's because they built it all in proprietary Microsoft stuff.
More than likely.
So which one doesn't like to play with which thing? We got butt touching butt, or we got the other touching the other? I can't decide if I want to say the word or not, so... It's weird how much self-censorship I'm doing.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, Wellington Wells, man, you got to be censored.
Yeah.
You saw those newspaper articles.
Oh, yeah. This also reminded me of a Doctor Who episode, The Happiness Patrol, where people who were, instead of being called downers, were called killjoys.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
And that was a big critique of the Margaret Thatcher administration.
Yeah.
So
we're just dropping random knowledge for you people today. You just don't understand.
Well, that's not really random. If you've seen that episode, it's blatant that they're ripping into Margaret Thatcher. Like, it's about as subtle as a brick attached to a sledgehammer thrown through a window that's made of plate glass, not just regular glass.
That sounds like something that you could have created in this game.
Oh yeah, probably.
Because you can't create a rock on a stick.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. Like, this game's frustrating for a few reasons, and one of the most glaring is just how buggy it is. Because just the amount of bugs that can occur, especially, like, people just, like, floating off of furniture, floating through the air, suddenly becoming invincible, all these types of things.
Yeah.
Floating was the one I've probably encountered the most.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my favorite was, I wish I had a video of this. A guy's walking animation froze, so he started just basically electric sliding across the ground in a walking animation. But, like, he wasn't animated, right?
Right!
So it looks like he's just like a player piece in a board game just moving around. And then at one point he had to go upstairs, so he started to hover over the stairs. And then when he hit the top of the stairs, he kept going.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to him after that. Like, that, yeah.
Oh, I love to see that. That is great.
And the one that seems to trigger the most, though, and I've seen many videos of this, is people sliding off the benches.
Yeah, I saw that, too. I actually had people, it was a couple, like, sitting on a bench together, and one just kind of, like, just all of a sudden jumped on top of the other, yeah. And then started going across the screen.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, sitting in particular seems to really be a problem.
Yeah, sitting is a big problem in Wellington Wells. There's a lot of benches, just don't sit on them.
Yeah, so, I mean, eventually, hopefully, this will all be fixed, but, I mean, the fact that this game's been out for, what, weeks now?
Yeah, it's been almost a month.
Yeah. Yeah, and at least some of these haven't been addressed. It's like, well, because they've done a couple of patches already, but...
Yeah, nothing's really helped that much.
No, at least not in this respect. I know they've patched in a couple other things, because then they added, like, a sandbox mode?
I believe so.
Yeah, so there's that, at least.
I believe so, yeah.
Which better lets you capitalize on the procedural generation without having to worry about plot-critical elements.
Right.
Which
I think that kind of just goes back to the original premise of it just being a soul... survival game without the story.
Yeah. Okay. Best plot. I'm asking.
I will say.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Arthur, especially his act. Solid.
Yeah.
But each one, the endings are really good.
This is true.
I've enjoyed the endings more than anything.
Oh yeah, especially Ollie's. I love his.
Right, that's the thing. Like, I love the endings. Like, the endings are so strong. And that's really the thing that kept me playing the game so much, is the fact that I actually enjoyed the story and the world and the people that are involved. It's just the gameplay that's so terrible.
Yeah. It's true. It's like the... I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Like, they had some idea what they were doing. They just didn't really think a lot of it through.
Right.
And I'm not sure how to put the blame here, because there are some good ideas here. I mean, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff I really don't want to get into, because other more experienced people have gotten into it, which makes me question some of the messages they were trying to send with the game. But the story itself is still good, because it taps into that 1984, that Brave New World vibe, and it does it fairly well. Like, the world they've created, while feeling certainly derivative to an extent, because this is something we've seen many times before, is still done fresh enough that it works.
Yeah.
Like, especially I'm not
gonna... in modern-day gaming right now.
Yeah, I mean...
where we have these kind of games, but nothing in this kind of environment.
Exactly. Like, it's still fresh enough to stand out. I'm not gonna... I'm gonna say it's, you know, we've... It's just because this is usually... Ideally, every person in high school... reads either 1984 or Brave New World, because it's pretty much mandatory. So, of course, everyone's inspired by this type of thing. But that said, the world is itself pretty good, all considered. Not the most subtle, but, I mean, doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes subtlety is for the weak.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a guy who grew up watching Power Rangers. You know how subtle that show is?
Oh, man, who are you telling that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what do we want to call this villain? Draven. All right, what's this evil universe he's from? The Antiverse. You're not just going to
call this rapping pumpkin.
yeah.
Oh man, I love.
And what are we going to call this big pig monster? Pudgy pig.
Oh, man, great stuff.
Mistress of Evil. Empress of Evil. I just want to talk about Power Rangers now.
I know!
Look, Kikaroos, they just had the 25th anniversary like 2 days ago.
I was just about to say that.
Did you see that?
Yes!
Oh, man, I want to stop this episode. Just talk about that now.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to persevere. We'll have to wait for another day to talk about that.
Yeah.
The Slash Vickers dreams are coming true. Okay, enough references to delightful kids television. Now, yeah, it's just, I don't have much else to say about the gameplay because it's hard to put into words. It's just not well executed.
No, not from any aspect, really. Because
No.
the survival aspect doesn't really affect you, just barely affects your stamina a little bit.
Yeah.
The stealth aspect can be flighty because the AI is so terrible.
Really, yeah,
Like
especially.
sometimes the stealth is great, and then other times for some reason, like the enemies will teleport and easily spot you.
Oh, Sally's. That's why Sally's story was the worst, because it was the most stealth focused.
Yes. And the thing about it with Sally is you're supposed to have these instruments, you're supposed to have these potions and needles and everything, and unfortunately it takes so much to find the equipment that sometimes you don't even have them when you need them,
Yeah.
so you just kind of try to sneak around.
Yeah, this is the problem with procedural generation. If you don't allow for certain numbers and certain things to always appear within predictable, acceptable areas, then yeah, you're just kind of hooped.
Right.
And yeah. So with the survival and the stealth gameplay not really great, melee combat is pretty basic. Can't. I don't know if. No?
Yeah, once again, just the AI is just so terrible to fight against.
Yeah, I know. Like if the AI was better, this game may still probably wouldn't be great in terms of gameplay, but it would
But it'll at
definitely.
least be a little bit more entertaining.
Absolutely. Like, it wouldn't be as frustrating to play. And you might be able to even enjoy the story a bit more. I think that's where we're at, because, like, probably the best way to say the reception of this game is mixed, because there's definitely some good stuff in here. Some really good stuff, in fact. It's just, there's still, unfortunately, and a lot of it is bugs, but a lot of it is core design as well.
Just from a gameplay perspective, they had an original idea, and unfortunately, they heard the kind of backlash of saying we want to have a story and understand this world more and try to attach that to this,
Yeah.
and it just doesn't mix.
Yeah, because the.
If
Oh,
they
sorry.
went another direction to me, like if they kind of went a Telltale direction, more of a point and click direction, and just focus on the story, this would have been an excellent game.
Yeah, or Techno Babylon.
Yeah, if they just went that direction, I think a lot of people would be praising this game right now.
Because, I mean, could you imagine this in, like, an original Monkey Island game?
Right.
With that kind of setup, because that seems like that's what they should have gone for.
It really should have.
Yeah, that's really part of the problem. Instead, they wanted to try and invoke Bioshock, and like we said, it's not very much like Bioshock.
No, not at all. Like after that initial feel of the entrance, I mean the introduction and the opening maybe 10 minutes, you really see just how different the game is from what we thought it was going to be.
Yep, which is a damn shame, but
It really is.
still for what
And
it is.
I want to love it. That's the thing. I want to love this game so much
Yeah, no, like.
because of the setting, because of the story, because of the characters, because the voice acting is awesome.
Oh, that's true. We didn't really talk about that.
Yeah, the voice acting is incredible in this game too.
But like, probably the easiest thing to say is, give it maybe another month or so to just patch out some of the bugs, hopefully for good, and see
Right.
how it is. 'Cause there's something worth playing here.
That's the thing, it's one of those games that is worth experiencing, but it's just so frustrating that the good parts are kind of forgotten about due to the frustrations.
Yeah.
Game of the Year contender, this could have been.
Could have been, yeah. Won't be.
Could have been. It could have been.
Just with us, it won't be.
I
I'm sure somebody somewhere. I mean.
know. Yeah, I've seen some reviews that I have to question. I really do, because some of the praises for this game, I don't understand what game they were playing that we've been playing.
We defiant few. We're holding out. Well, we're holding out for our favorite game of the year. Yakuza Kiwami 2. It's totally gonna happen. We're gonna master that Mahjong game.
Oh man.
We'll probably talk about that game later in the.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Probably. We're Yakuza junkies and. Well. But let's move from one form of crime to another. Because we're gonna talk about Orange is the New Black. Which is an interesting choice for me, because like this is kind of always been a show a little outside my wheelhouse, but I have been watching it, so I'm not necessarily opposed to talking about it,
Right.
which is good, because like this new season just dropped last July, which is gonna be just over a month less than 2 months from when this will go live, which is good.
Yeah. And now we can get away a little bit with a few spoilers if we have to. We're not going to go major.
No.
If we slip a little bit, though, it's not that big of a deal now. It's more than likely you probably watched it.
Well, yeah, because even I have watched it, but I don't know what it is about this show. I think it's just because all the characters wear orange, because it's a prison.
Right.
I genuinely have, I had this problem with Prison Break, too, where I think most of the first season, I kept confusing two characters.
Really?
Yeah. I can't even remember what happened there, but I remember confusing characters more than once in Prison Break, too. And this show's been going on for 6 years, and of course I know most of the main ones, pretty well by now.
But I do, there's a few that I completely forget their names.
Yeah. And unfortunately that happens. So in this case, we're talking about Orange is the New Black, the sixth season. And we get it, so we're following the tale of Piper Chapman. Who's based on a real person, right? Is the real person's name also Piper Chapman, or is it slightly changed?
Yes, it is. That's the thing. She's it's not only inspired by her book and her experience in prison, but she's also, I believe, an executive producer, too.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. I just can never remember if it's the exact same name or...
Right.
Yeah. Because I know they're both Piper. That's the whole thing.
I just love the fact that they had to really stretch out her story even further in this television show to make it last six seasons.
I know. Well, that's one of those things. You have an obvious end date, and then the show's popular, so then it wants to keep going. So they had to do some experimentation. And I do mean that in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
But the big one has got to be what happened last season, which was pretty mixed. I don't know why shows keep doing this, because it's led to some weird, weird decisions. Because, season 5, for those who don't know, and I'm going to just flat out mention this, it takes place over a riot.
Right.
Which takes place...
A three-day riot.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's what I'm getting at. So it's essentially the real-time compression of time, extension of time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Much like How I Met Your Mother, the second last season was all over a wedding weekend. That was even less necessary than this. At least with the riot, it's like, okay, there was a lot of stuff going on with the riot, and it kind of struggled as a result, because they still have to fill 13 episodes.
Right.
Because I don't think they've had a season yet that hasn't had 13 episodes.
No, they've always stuck with that solid number of...
Yeah.
Lucky 13.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Marvel?
Mm-hmm. Boy, are you about to... Need me to go and get my voodoo magic? I couldn't decide what to say, so I went with voodoo magic.
You're just watching Glow, that's all.
Yeah, that would have been a good one to reference. Yeah, so in this case, it's the fallout from the riot, which is a little more enjoyable because a lot more stuff happens, but here's the big thing that you need to know right away. A lot of supporting characters are gone.
Yeah, it really is. It's surprising, because I was expecting them, when they did the end of season 5, it was obvious separation of certain characters. I was expecting to kind of have a mix of going to one jail and finding out what this group of people are doing, and then going back to the other and finding out what this group of people are doing. No, we're just focusing on the people that are in maximum security.
That's it. It's because it essentially just follows two cell blocks.
Right.
And we still see... we've still got at least, six familiar characters?
We got a pretty good amount still. It's about maybe 12 or so.
Yeah, because there's at one point where we had over 20 developed characters. In this case, about half of them are gone. And thankfully, some of the new ones are pretty good. Because, of course, Piper's still around. Nikki's around. And then Crazy Eyes. They would never get rid of Crazy Eyes.
I know they can't. They can't. She's too... She's the Daryl of the show.
Yeah, essentially.
She's the Daryl Dixon of the show now. She's the one that everyone fell in love with.
Yep. Yeah, the most iconic character.
Right. Even though that wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay, and I can't never remember how to pronounce this character's name, because I hear it repeatedly, then I don't think about it for a week, and then I see it written down, and I'm like, how do I pronounce this again? Pensatucky?
Yeah, Pensatucky, yep.
See? I nearly said something completely different.
Oh, just say Doggett. Yeah. Everybody calls it Doggett.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Nobody calls her by her first name. They just call her either Pennsylvania or Doggett.
Yeah. And, of course, the other two that really matter frequently are Red and Alex.
Yes.
In particular, Alex.
And we had a couple that kind of like stepped up, like Maria stepped up in the last couple of seasons, but yeah. They kind of scaled her back this time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that always going on with these shows.
Yeah.
We had this with Glow, too. Remember when, like, a bunch of characters, they got promoted to main cast, but then got less
than... And the next thing you know, for some reason, they weren't even that important this time around.
Yeah, well, that kind of happens in this season, too, but we'll get to that. Actually, we might as well dive into that. So...
Yeah.
Because Pennsylvania doesn't really do much. Red doesn't really do much.
Yeah, Red's kind of like... She's almost Switzerland to a certain extent. Like, she's caught in between, and she doesn't know which way to go, and...
Yeah.
Usually she was the one that was playing all the power moves. Especially the first few seasons.
Oh, yeah, no, she was probably the most important character in, I want to say, season 2 and 3.
Yeah.
That's probably the best time to
spend. Especially season 2.
Well, yeah, no, definitely season 2. And, you know, Alex came and went, because that's been a whole thing.
Yeah, that's been her whole gimmick. So she comes in on a whim, and then she goes away for a little bit. You think she's gone, then she comes back.
Like, she's always, like, a main cast member, but... Her appearances per season can be pretty low sometimes.
Yes, they can.
I can't remember how many she was in this time.
It wasn't that many. Because the first, 3 or 4 episodes, she's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, because that's a big thing is...
Right.
We're not going to get into too much about it, but somebody died during the riot and they don't know who it was. And
right,
Piper
and of course,
thinks it's Alex.
Yeah, of course Piper thinks it's Alex.
Yeah, well, what else is she going to do? And then, so that's a big thing. And then we got, but we did get a new character. I guess we should just dive into her. Because she's one of the, let's quickly touch on one of the other big driving forces of the season. Because two supporting characters actually affect the plot probably the most this season.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, it's because it's Carol and Barb.
Yeah.
Who are two people who basically... Each one is controlling one of the cell blocks. That's probably the easiest way to...
Yeah, and don't forget to mention their sisters.
Right, yeah. Thank you. For some reason, I wanted to say cousins, so...
Yeah,
you can tell how much I've really ingrained this in me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good reason why you've kind of forgotten exactly why their relation or anything in terms of their connection. Because, like, when you're first introduced, you see, like, a young version of themselves, and... They're already fighting, so you don't really put two and two together, and maybe they're related.
Yeah. It's weird, because, like, I don't think the show's ever really done something like this, where it's just these two minor characters end up affecting the plot so heavily. And it is interesting, because it's more about what's going on affecting our main characters, and that does work. Like, I think I liked season 6 more than 5, because 5, with the time portrayal, twist in terms of, you know, the 3-day riot and everything, it dragged out events way too long. In this case, they probably dragged out the mystery of whether or not Alex is alive way too long.
Yeah, it was definitely one.
And they probably could have used more substance to drive the overall plot of the season forward.
Yeah.
But they set up some interesting stuff, and there was definitely some good new arcs, especially with some of the new characters, and that was the one I wanted to lead into. Because Tasty, played by Danielle Brooks...
Yes.
I cannot remember what the heck else she's from. You know, I'm going to IMDb that real quick.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the plot while I IMDb here?
Yeah, well, of course, Tasty was pretty much the figurehead for the riot because her best friend, Fusei, got killed accidentally in the 4th season. And since she's the figurehead of the riot, they're trying to take her down.
Right.
So it's this whole thing about her, especially working with the former warden, Joe Caputo, and her trying to prove her innocence, and that she had nothing to do with the killing of a guard that happened during the 5th season. And the emotional impact of her journey and just trying to figure out how in the world she can beat the system from a moral perspective, not even just like, oh man, I did something, I'm trying to get away with it. She's like, I'm actually innocent. Everyone knows that when you're watching this, you know that she's innocent. The task of them trying to just add that emotional layer to her character, added by the fact that they actually introduced another character that used to work with her back when she was a free woman, back when they were teenagers, and she turns out to be a guard now. And I love the fact that she was like the screw up back when they were working together, and now Stacy is the one in jail and she's a guard.
Yeah. Stacy's first showed up in what, the third season?
No, I think she's been there the whole time, but it's just like she didn't really become an important role.
Okay.
Because remember in the second season, I cannot remember for the life of me what the V in the second season was actually one of the caretakers for Stacy.
Oh God, you're right. Man, she's probably been around the whole show then.
Yeah, she's been around the whole show, but it really wasn't until the second season.
This is how much she's affected me until now, right?
Right.
Because I knew she was dealing in either the ride. I remember that.
Right.
But it was like, I think she was in the fourth, and then I muttered to myself, I think she was in the fourth season. And then it was like, oh, wait, she's been here since the beginning. Oh, man.
Yes. And like I said, it really wasn't until the second season when they introduced V's character that she really even mattered.
Yeah. Because she... Didn't she work for Caputo before...
She was a secretary for Caputo.
That's what it is.
Which is one of my favorite parts. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole fourth season. She was like this terrible secretary.
See, this is what I mean. I barely remember that. I gotta hit myself for that now.
And it's funny because... I guess... I think that's one thing I know a lot of people were upset about when it came to like the end of the fourth season, especially in the fifth season, was how dark the show got. And it's still that way now because of, like you said, the tension of these people being separated. You don't know exactly what's going to happen with the fallout of the riot. And even though we have some like funny moments here and there, it's still really tense and dark when it comes to this. Like, you don't have those funny, genuine moments anymore, I don't think, compared to like the earlier seasons.
Yeah.
Like, you might have a random moment like with one of the newer characters that was introduced, Madison, who... Oh my goodness, it was so ridiculous. She wants to be called Madison.
Yep. That's a terrible nickname.
But, like, her flashback was hilarious. Like, I love the flashback. It was such a terrible, terrible flashback of people teasing her. But it was just so ridiculously funny because it was just so immature. Like,
yeah. That's kind of the show.
Yeah.
One of my favorites was just the silly promo they did where they were showing Piper like demonstrating her ability to repair things. I was like, oh look, here's a guy who's touring the prison. He's just gonna immediately drop a bunch of sexism on that. I'm like, that's a terrible idea. Like, that's how you get shanked, buddy. I was trying to think, Sophia, just because she's played by Laverne Cox.
Right.
Is she only like two episodes this season?
She's like two episodes. I was surprised because when I saw her name on the credits, I was like, where is she?
Yeah.
And it's like for about, I believe, like two-thirds of the season before you even see her.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Because, it's mostly just, you got this big conflict, and you got some really interesting stories. Like you said, Stacy, and you... More than just, you probably might have gone too far with that, but that's fine. I'm not going to interrupt you when you're on a roll. You can talk about the show more passionately than I can, and like I said, it's not even just that I don't like the show, it's just I have problems absorbing it, and the big things I want to talk about the most, I can't because they're big spoilers.
Very much so, they really are.
And like, I don't even want to talk about the meat for Wheel of Love for some spoilers. It's just, it's pretty much the same old thing, though, you get intense characterization, you don't know who's gonna die, and while the show could be really funny at points, it's still really dark.
Yeah, especially now, it's gotten to that point where it's just, no matter, even the funniest moments are not anywhere close to what they were before.
No, like the first...
Just because of the atmosphere itself now.
The first and the third season were probably the funniest ones.
Yeah.
Because two got really dark at certain points.
Yeah, two, especially by the end, it really got dark.
And four, of course... Started okay, but quickly
it started
got...
funny, and then like the last three episodes, that's when it just flipped.
Because that's what...
kind of like been on that ever since.
Well, that's probably when you start to see that the riot was coming.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah,
you saw the influence of what was going on in real life starting to play out now on the show.
Yeah, and then of course season five is like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And then
and then we had like our pseudo Freddy Jason Voorhees in that season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta have someone behind the mask.
Yeah.
He's back. Yeah, sorry. I just, I love, I've been listening to that song way too much lately. The Alice Cooper theme for
yeah,
Jason. Jason, I think it's Jason Lives.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
yeah. He's back, the man behind the mask, and he's crawled out of his hole. Oh, good times.
Okay, before we close out with that one, I had to ask you, what did you think about Loosecheck's new car?
I got nothing.
You didn't care about the DeLorean?
I honestly didn't. I've seen so many, well, let me put it this way. I've seen so many references to this type of thing now, I just don't care anymore. when you have Ready Player One, where he drives a DeLorean now, any other DeLorean reference is just going to be like...
It just doesn't work anymore.
No, it's we've come full circle. I mean, I was already kind of tired of it when we had it show up in Chuck. And that was, like, 2011? So, I mean, I just can't. Cool, DeLorean, nice.
Yeah, cool, you spent your money on DeLorean. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Besides, I always hum that theme song when I drive in my car anyway. No, I don't know.
But overall, this is the season that, a lot of stuff happened and really a lot of stuff didn't.
That's really kind of the problem. Because most of the interesting stuff happened at the very end.
Yeah.
And, like, what we had before was fun. Like, this is not the worst season. This is better than season 5, no question for
Hands
me.
Hands down, yeah, yeah. No questions asked there, yeah.
But you can tell that, okay, if season 7 isn't the final season, you can tell that they're kind of setting it up to be.
Right, yeah, they're running out of steam.
Because this feels like the second last season of a show that knows it's running out of steam, but for some reason just couldn't get the season's act together. Like, you saw this, you've seen this with the many other shows. You saw this with Psych, you saw this with Castle. I'm trying to think of another example off the top of my head. Like Game of Thrones, they didn't really do that because they were actually going places already in season 7. I can't think of a good third example. If you have one, let me know. Oh, I mentioned it earlier, Chuck. The second half of season 4 of Chuck just felt like a postscript because they probably didn't know they were going to do that story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to see Lauren Cohan suck in something, watch that. Oh boy, she's come a long way. Like the cast still delivers. I mean, it's probably going to get nominated for a couple Emmys, and it probably should.
Yeah,
but
yeah, the strength of the cast really make up for, I think, a lacking season overall.
Oh, the show should absolutely still get nominated for like best ensemble. Yeah. Which I don't think is an Emmy category for some reason. I know. I don't think Best Ensemble is Emmys. I think that's Golden Globes or something else. Might be SAG. That's SAG Awards, I think. So this might get nominated for SAG for Best Ensemble, and it probably should.
Yeah, it definitely should.
I mean, who knew we'd get 90s icons, Captain Janeway and Donna from that 70s show, right? In a show together. I know. We've never talked about the show before, so it was my first chance to make that reference.
Yeah.
And I did look up Danielle Brooks. Yeah, she's mostly known for Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I cannot think of anything with her beyond that.
Yeah. Look, she's done episodes of Master of None and stuff, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so I'd say this is, if you like the show up to this point, but you should definitely still watch this. I mean, especially...
Yeah, if you're disappointed with season 5, I think this would be a better return to form.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless one of the characters you really liked is gone.
Yeah, it doesn't show up.
But there's still enough of the familiar cat. Like, some people said, oh, they got rid of everyone. I'm like, they got rid of maybe half?
Yeah, they got rid of a few characters and kind of like downgraded the other ones, but
yeah.
The main characters we followed for like the last 3 or 4 seasons are still around.
Absolutely. Yeah, like Sophia was probably one of the most glaring ones that was still around, and we were like, what's her nuts? I can't think of how to pronounce it again. You know who I mean.
Oh, yeah, Pinsitucky.
Thank you. Yeah. I always need a second to remember how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Because I keep wanting to say, like, persnickety or stuff like that.
It actually works, too.
Right?
I could actually see her being that. Like, yeah. That would be perfect.
But no, yeah, they're still around. It's yeah, because Red doesn't get as much to do, Pensatucky doesn't get as much to do, but Crazy
Yeah,
Eyes.
she really doesn't.
But I mean, Piper, Nikki, Crazy Eyes, and Tasty all get plenty to do.
Yeah, very much so, especially Tasty.
Yeah, they, well, yeah.
Crazy Eyes has got a very interesting story arc.
I don't know if we need to touch on it too much,
No,
though.
that'd be just, that's too spoiler heavy. That
Yeah,
really
and
is.
Piper's only really pays off near the end, so we don't want
Yeah,
to.
very much so, yeah.
Ditto. I just mentioned Sophia because I'm like, oh yeah, no. Sophia is around and does kind of matter later.
Yeah. Same thing with Daya. She was like a big
Yeah.
part in last season, the seasons. She's trying to grow a backbone. She tries to grow a backbone every time, and it just fails. So, season 7 might not end well for
Season 7 is probably gonna end well for a lot of people.
her.
It's probably not gonna end as badly as like Oz did for so many people.
Right.
There's another show to compare it to. But it's not gonna end well for some for sure. I think in the final season J.K. Simmons will show up. That'd be awesome. Then
That
I mention
would be.
Oz. But yeah, no. Good show. You know, there's still problems, but I mean
Yeah.
it's way more manageable. It's definitely worth watching if you've even remotely tried to keep up. And
Yeah, like I said, if you weren't happy with season 5, I
yeah.
think you'll be a lot happier with this one.
Oh, this one's
Like it's...
way less experimental.
But yeah, try to go back to what started the show, I think, just with more established characters and rules and boundaries, and threw a couple of very interesting antagonists into the play, so.
Oh, no, good stuff. All right. On that note, I want to thank you for joining me this week, James.
Always a pleasure. Just remember, always keep your story straight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
you know what? I did want to tell this one story. This is not the one we talked about earlier. This
Okay.
I just want I want to I want to sh end by sharing a real story. This one's gonna sound weird, but like I want to give you an idea because I commented earlier on what real crazy can be like.
Okay.
So, this goes back quite a while. I don't want to. I'm older than I care to admit at this
Yeah, I
point.
was about to say you don't want to date yourself.
I was in a computer lab in college, and we were there just to do a project or something because I took some computer stuff in college, and I'm just sitting around. I'm not even really saying anything. I was kind of talking to one of my classmates about the assignment, and
Okay.
then this guy comes in. He's holding a spoon, a big metal spoon. I don't know why. And he asked me why I'm talking about him. I don't know what he's talking about. And he's saying like I'm talking about how he's poor and all this stuff with that, and how I didn't do anything to get here.
The spoon
Yeah, like it's just, and I don't understand what's going on, because like I genuinely just did not know what to say, because I'm like, I'm not saying this type of thing. Like, what's going on here? And it's like, hey, don't let me catch you say anything alone. I was like, okay. And like, and I just looked at everyone else and shrugged, and then I didn't say anything, like. We're just, that was weird. Then, you know, we didn't really talk about it for like 2, 3 minutes. He comes back in and he keeps me continuing to talk about him when I legitimately
Oh
hadn't said
man.
anything. And so I was like, what is going on? So, like, that's, and yeah, it turns out this guy, I can't remember what he was suffering from, but it just goes to show you cannot predict what's gonna happen.
You
And
cannot predict the mind.
no, and it's like, holy hell, what even the heck?
I still want to know where you got that spoon from.
I genuinely didn't know if I was supposed to fear for my life or start laughing. Because it's such a bizarre thing,
That's
but
such
I
a
don't know this
bizarre thing to
guy,
bring
and
to a
he
fight.
seems, and he's acting gen, he's speaking in vaguely threatening tones.
Right.
And like, is he gonna attack me? Like, what the hell's going on? Like, get, you know, if he attacks me with a spoon, that'll kind of be hilarious. Unless he actually penetrates one of
That
my ribs with it, in
I
which
was
case I
saying
won't be
it goes
laughing.
for an eye.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, it's, you know, you see, you have a person named Crazy Eyes, or you have a world where people are crazy because they're always on drugs, and reality can be a little disturbing sometimes.
Very much so.
Yeah. Sorry to end that on a more somber note, but I had that story in my head. I thought I might as well tell it.
Yeah.
Till next time,
Thanks for being
folks.
a
Oh.
downer, Peter.
Yep. You know what
You
that
know
means now.
somebody's off enjoying the day.
Psh. I got a hot air balloon. I'll be fine. To the Zeppelin.